This is the second of our stories. It's called Little Bear's Son. In a certain tsardom of the 30th realm, across 3 times 9 lands, beyond the sea ocean, there once lived an old peasant with his wife. They were honest and industrious, though certainly they did not swim in cheese and butter. Indeed, they were very poor, and moreover they had no children, which was a great grief to them. In scanty seasons the peasant eked out his living by hunting wolves and bears, whose skins he marketed to buy bread. One day he tracked a bear to its den, and having killed it, he found there, to his astonishment, a little boy, 3 years old, naked and sturdy, whom the bear had stolen and had been rearing like a cub. The peasant took the little boy home, called in the priest, had him baptized Ivashko Medvedko, which is to say, Little Ivan, Bear's son, and began to bring him up as his own. The lad grew, not by years, but by hours, as fast as if someone were dragging him upstairs, until when he was 15 he was of a man's height and stronger than anyone in the whole countryside. He did not realize his own strength, so that before long, as he played with the other lads of the village, accidents began to happen. When he would seize a playmate by the hand, it was a piece of luck if he did not pull the hand off, and arms and even heads were separated from their bodies when he was made angry. This, naturally, produced much trouble, and finally his neighbours came to the old peasant and said, "Thou art our neighbour and our countryman, and we have no quarrel with thee, but as for thy bear's son, he should be thrust forth from the village. We do not choose longer to have our little children maimed by his antics." The old man was sad and sorry, for he loved the lad and knew that he was of a good heart and meant no mischief. Little Bear's son noticed his downcast looks and asked, "Why art thou so sad, little grandfather? Who has taken away thy happiness?" "Little grandson," said the old man, sighing heavily, "thou hast been my only comfort. Now our neighbours have determined to expel thee from the village, and what wilt thou do, and how wilt thou live?" "Well, little grandfather," answered he, "this is truly a great misfortune, but it cannot be helped. Go thou, I pray, and buy me an iron club of 25 poods weight. Let me remain here but 3 weeks longer to exercise and develop my body, and then I shall leave thee to make mine own way in the white world, to show myself and to be seen." The old man went and bought the heavy iron club, loaded it in a cart, and brought it home, and with it little Bear's son began each day to exercise. Now, nearby was a green meadow on which stood 3 fir trees. The first was 15 reaches around, the second 20, and the third 25. When the first week was ended, he went to the meadow, seized the first fir tree, and putting forth all his strength, pulled it over. He went home and exercised with his iron club a second week, and at the end of that time he went to the meadow, seized the second fir tree, bent it down to the ground, and broke it into 2 pieces. He went home and exercised with his iron club yet a third week, and going to the meadow, he seized the third fir tree, and with a single jerk tore it up by the roots. So mighty was his strength that the earth shook, the forest moaned, the sea ocean began to boil, and the fir tree was reduced to powder. "Now," said Little Bear's son, "I am so strong that I fear not even a witch," and bidding farewell with tears to the old man and the old woman, he thrust his iron club into his girdle and went whither his eyes looked. Whether he wandered a long way or a short way, he came at length to a river 3 versts wide. On its bank knelt a giant, as tall as a birch sapling and as thick as a hayrick, with his mouth stretched wide in the water, catching fish with his moustache. When he caught one, he kindled a fire on his tongue, roasted it and swallowed it. "Health to thee, giant," said Little Bear's son. "Who art thou?"
"Health to thee," answered the other. "My name is Usinia. Whither goest thou?" "Whither my eyes look," replied Little Bear's son, "wilt thou come with me? It is merrier with companionship. Thou art of a goodly size, and shouldst be a man of strength." "As for that," said the giant, "my strength is nothing. For a really strong man, they say thou must go to him who is named Ivashko Medvedko."
"That is my name," said Little Bear's son.
"Then will I go with thee right willingly," said the other, and he left off his fishing, and they journeyed on together. They travelled for a day, when they came to a valley in which a giant 4 yards tall was at work. He was carrying earth thither, a whole hill at a time, and mending the roads with it.
"Health to thee," said Little Bear's son. "What art thou called?"
"Health to thee," replied the giant. "My name is Grinnir. Whither doth God lead you?"
"Whither our eyes look," said Little Bear's son.
"Thou art a strong man, I see, but why dost thou toil so hard?" "Because I am dull," answered the other. "There is no war, and the Tsardom is at peace. So, having nothing to do, I amuse myself. But as for strength, I have little enough compared with a certain youth named Ivashko Medvedko."
"I am he," said Little Bear's son.
"Then take me with you," said the giant, "and I will be thy younger brother." And he left his road-making and journeyed on with the others. They travelled for 2 days, when they passed through a forest of oak trees, and in it they perceived a third giant as tall as a barn, at work making all the oaks of the same height. If one was too tall, he drove it further into the earth with a blow of his fist. If too short, he pulled it up to the proper level.
"Health to thee," said Little Bear's son. "Thou art indeed a mighty man. What is thy name?"
"Health to thee," responded the giant. "My name is Dubinia, but my strength is as naught compared with that of a certain Ivashko Medvedko that I've heard tell of."
"I am that one," said Little Bear's son. "Wilt thou go with us and be our comrade?"
"That I will," answered the giant. "Whither doth your path lead?"
"Whither our eyes look," said Little Bear's son. And the third giant left his work in the oak forest and went with them. They travelled, all four together, for 3 days, when they came to a wilderness full of all kinds of game. And Little Bear's son said, "Of what profit is it for us to wander further through the white world? Let us build a house here and dwell in ease and comfort." The three giants agreed. All immediately set to work clearing the stubble and preparing the timbers, and before nightfall the dwelling was completed. It was built of the hugest trees and was big enough to shelter comfortably 40 ordinary men. When it was finished, they made a hunt and killed and snared beasts and fowl to fill their larder. The next morning, Little Bear's son said, "Each day 3 of us must hunt so that we lack not food, while the 4th stays at home to guard our house and to cook for the rest. Let us cast lots, therefore, to see who shall stay at home today?" They cast lots, and it fell to Usinia, he of the huge moustache, to remain, and the other three went away to hunt. When they had departed, Usinia took flesh and fowl, and prepared a fit meal for his comrades when they should return, and boiled and baked and roasted whatever pleased his soul. When all was ready, he washed his head, and sitting down under the window, began to comb his curly locks with a comb. Suddenly it thundered, the wind began to moan, the earth began to shake, and the wild, thick, silent forest bent down to the ground. Usinia grew faint and giddy, and everything seemed to turn green. As he looked out of the window, he saw the earth begin to rise, and from under it lifted a huge stone. And from beneath the stone came a Baba Yaga, riding in a great iron mortar, driving with the pestle and sweeping away her trail behind her with a kitchen broom. Usinia was badly frightened, but he opened the door, and when the old witch came in, wished her good health and gave her a bench to sit on. "Canst thou not see, thou great lump," snarled the Baba Yaga, "that I am hungry? Give me to eat." Usinia took a roast duck from the oven and some bread and salt and set them before her. She ate all greedily and demanded more. He brought another piece of meat, but it was so small that she flew into a rage. "Is
this how thou servest me?" she cried, and seizing him with her bony arms, she dragged him from side to side of the room, bumped his head on the floor, beat him almost to death with her iron pestle, and threw him under the table. Then she cut a strip of skin from his back, snatched everything out of the oven and ate it, bones and all, and drove away in her mortar. When the bruised giant came to his senses, he tied his handkerchief about his head and sat groaning till his comrades returned. Seeing, they asked, "Art thou in pain that thou hast bound up thy head? And where is our supper?" "Ah, little brothers," he replied, "I've been able neither to boil nor to roast for you. The oven is new, and the smoke poured out into the room till it gave me a headache." So Little Bear's son and his two comrades prepared their meals themselves. The next day, Gorinia remained at home. He roasted and fried to his heart's content, and when all was done, he washed his head and began to comb his hair, when all at once it lightened, hail began to fall, and the trees of the dense, sleepy forest bent over to the ground. He grew faint and giddy, and everything seemed to turn green. Then he saw the earth stir, the great stone lift, and from beneath it the Baba Yaga came riding in her mortar, driving with her pestle, and sweeping away her trail with the kitchen broom. Gorinia was too frightened to hide himself, and the old witch came in without knocking. "Health to thee, grandmother," said the giant, and bade her sit down. "Dost thou not see that I am hungry and thirsty?" she snapped. "Fetch me food." He set a piece of venison and a cup of kvass before her. She ate and drank and asked for more, and he brought her another piece of meat. This, however, being smaller than the first, did not please her fancy. "Is it thus thou servest me?" she shrieked, and gripping him by the hair with her skinny hands, she dragged him from corner to corner, beat his head against the walls, and belabored him with her iron pestle till his senses left him. Then she cut a strip of flesh from his back, threw him under the bench, ate all that he'd cooked, and drove away. When the others returned from their hunting, they found Gorinia sitting with his head bandaged and groaning louder than had Eucinia the day before. "Alas, little brothers," he said, when they questioned him, "the wood was damp and would not burn, and from trying to bake and roast for you, my head aches as if it would burst." So the three cooked their own supper and went to bed. The next day, Dubinia was left at home while the others hunted, and to him the same thing happened also. The Baba Yaga appeared, beat him black and blue with her pestle, cut a strip of flesh from his back, threw him into a corner, ate the supper, and drove away. He also sat groaning till the others returned, when he said, "Little brothers, I have been able neither to boil nor to bake for you, for the dampers of the stove would not close, and the gas from the burning wood made me giddy, and caused my poor little head to ache as if it must split in two." So the others got themselves something to eat and went to sleep. On the fourth day it came the turn of Little Bear's son to stay. He put the house to rights, boiled, baked, and roasted, and when all was prepared, washed his head, sat down under the window, and began to comb his hair. Suddenly, rain began to fall. The forest complained and bowed down, and everything turned green before his eyes. Then the earth parted, the great stone tilted, and out from the hole came the Baba Yaga, riding in her mortar, driving with her pestle, and sweeping out her path behind with the kitchen broom. Little Bear's son was not frightened, however, nor was he made giddy. He fetched his iron club of 25 poods, stood it ready in a corner, and opened the door. "Health to thee, grandmother," he said. She hobbled in and sat down, grinding all her teeth and smiling. "Fool," she said, "why dost thou not offer me something to eat and drink? Canst thou not see that I am famished?" "The food that I have cooked," he replied, "is for my comrades, not for thee." The old witch snatched up her pestle and sprang upon him, thinking to treat him as she had the others, but he seized her by her grey locks, grasped his iron club, and began to beat her till even her witch's body suffered tortures, and she howled for mercy. He stayed not his hand, however, till she was half dead. Then he threw her into a cupboard and locked the door. Presently the three giants returned, expecting, each one of them, to find Little Bear's son well beaten and their supper gone. But he welcomed them, bade them sit down, and brought from the oven foods of all sorts, deliciously cooked and in plenty. The giants ate and drank their fill, each one saying to himself, "Surely the Baba Yaga did not come to our brother today." When the supper was ended, Little Bear's son heated the bath for his comrades, and all went to bathe. Now, because the witch had cut the strips of flesh from their backs, each of the three giants tried to stand always with his face towards Little Bear's son, lest he see the scar. So at length he asked, "Brothers, why do you stand thus facing me like men who fear to show their shoulders?" They turned themselves about then, and he asked, "Why are the scars upon your backs?" Then Eusinius said, "The day I stayed at home, the smoke of the fire blinded my eyes, so that I touched the stove and the hot iron seared me." Gorinius said, "When I remained, the wood was damp, and in filling the stove with dry, a faggot dropped from my shoulder and tore my flesh." And Dubinia said, "When I was left behind, the gas from the oven made me giddy, so that I slipped and fell upon thine iron club." Then Little Bear's son laughed, and opening the cupboard door, dragged from thence the Baba Yaga. "Here, my brothers," he said, "are the smoke, the dampness, and the gas. Now." The old witch was cunning, and she pretended to be still senseless from her beating. She opened one eye a little, however, and seeing her chance, suddenly leapt into her mortar, whirled through the doorway, and in another moment had disappeared beneath the huge stone. The three giants, angered to find their secret discovered, were still more furious to see the Baba Yaga outwit them. They ran to the stone and put forth all their strength to turn it, but were unable. Then Little Bear's son went to the stone, lifted it, and hurled it a verst away. Beneath it was a great, dark hole, like the burrow of an enormous fox. "Brothers," said Little Bear's son, "the witch is in this abyss. She is now our mortal enemy, and if we do not kill her, she will drive us one by one out of the white world. Which of us shall follow her?" The three giants, however, had tasted the Baba Yaga's power, and had no relish for attacking her under the ground. Dubinia hid behind Gorinia, and Gorinia slunk behind Eusinia, and Eusinia looked up at the blue sky as if it had not heard at all. "Well," said Little Bear's son, "it seems that I must be the one to go." He bade them then cut into strips the hides of the beast they had trapped and killed, and to twist the strips into a long rope. He planted a great post in the ground, tied one end of the rope to this, and threw the other end into the dark hole. "Now, little brothers," he said, "remain here and watch, one of you at a time. If you see the rope quiver and shake, lay hold of it straightway and hoist me out." To be continued.